No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Alrighty, welcome back to another Wisco Fanatics Tuesday night. I am participating this week. 2 weeks ago, I had some family stuff that we were doing. So I am back this week, and now we are without Jake, at least temporarily. He's working through some computer issues. So if Jake gets in, we will bring him in as well. But today, we are going through our Green Bay Packers roster predictions, and we're going to bring in Jake, see if this works. Going through our Green Bay Packers roster predictions, as well as some X factors on both sides of the ball. And then if there's any other thoughts that we have on positional battles that we are watching as the Packers go into their final preseason game, we will discuss those as well. So we're going to hit the intro and start discussing the Packers.
Welcome to another episode of the Wisco Fanatic Show, where we cover the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, and Badgers basketball and football teams from an optimistic and realistic perspective.
Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
All right, so got to say we're getting some good compliments on the new intro, which is awesome. So love that. So let's jump in, starting with the Green Bay Packers roster predictions. And we're going to start with the easy spot. Let's start with quarterback.
No, the easiest one is specialist.
I'm sure we all have Jordan Love and Malik Willis. Very interested to know what you guys think, if they keep more than that or if they stick with two, and then if they stick with two, what else they do with the position.
Yeah, so I only have Malik Willis and Jordan Love making the roster. And then I think, honestly, I don't think Sean Clifford nor Algirdsma showed anything really consistent. So if one of them somehow gets claimed, I think they're fine with throwing the other one on the practice squad at this point. Also, I wouldn't be completely surprised if someone like a little surprising gets cut and we go in a complete different direction at number three.
I have Algirdsma as a practice squad quarterback. I think he showed at least a little bit more than Clifford as far as if we end up in a situation with two guys hurt, they're probably going to go sign somebody. But if you end up with a position where you have, you know, you need an emergency quarterback, I think Algirdsma showed a better talent level than Sean Clifford did.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you guys. I think from where Algirdsma is versus where Sean Clifford should be, Algirdsma has such an arm too. His arm looks so good compared, and I just think he beats out Clifford in for the practice squad spot.
All right, so quarterback is easy. What about running back?
No, specialist is the next easiest.
Specialist is the next easiest?
Yeah.
Let's go with the offense first. All right, go to running back. Simon, you go first. Let me know what you're thinking about running back, who makes it, who doesn't.
Okay, this was a difficult one for me. I have Josh Jacobs. I think Marshawn Lloyd will start on the PUP or the IR or whatever. And then it'll be Chris Brooks. And then when Marshawn Lloyd comes back, then your guess is honestly as good as mine. But that I right now, if Marshawn Lloyd was healthy, I'd have him and cut Brooks.
Really? You'd only carry two running backs?
No, three. Josh Jacobs, obviously.
Josh Jacobs.
Marshawn Lloyd and Emmanuel Wilson.
Okay, so you
have Wilson.
You're saying you'd cut Brooks over Wilson.
Yes.
Okay, I'm the exact opposite. I think because of Brooks' pass blocking ability and everything, so right now on my initial 53, I have Josh Jacobs, Chris Brooks, and Emmanuel Wilson. We're really in kind of a, you know, I agree with Simon. Now that the new rule is that running two players can go straight to IR and never have to go on the roster. So I think Marshawn Lloyd will likely be one of those. I think, you know, those on the initial 53, it'll be Jacobs, Brooks, and Wilson. But honestly, we're in like really good position for running backs. People forget that Emmanuel Wilson went for like 500 yards last year, 400 something yards. So, I mean, we all want to see Marshawn Lloyd healthy because we've seen like a little flash of what he can do with the one jump cut in the hole and then, of course, the wheel route. But we're in a pretty good position as it is. But, until he gets back, I think it'll be those three. And then Simon's right to where, you know, if Lloyd is out 4 weeks, it's going to be interesting to see what Chris Brooks versus Emmanuel Wilson does. And then do we carry four running backs at that point? Probably not. But that, you know, you might look to trade one at that point because all of them are very good running backs.
I think RB is hard to trade for. And then
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Amar Johnson. He's been playing pretty well too. I think we'll stash him on the practice squad.
Oh, for sure.
He's been playing extremely well.
Stealing from us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with Bryant as far as running backs are concerned. Right now, if I had to keep Emmanuel Wilson or Chris Brooks, it would be Chris Brooks, like Brian said, with the pass blocking. I think he's more valuable there. And on special teams, I think Chris Brooks offers some value. And then if you were, you know, with Lloyd, I agree with both of you that he's going to start on the pup or, you know, the six-week IR or whatever it is. If you were looking at Lloyd, Brooks, and Wilson and saying you have to keep two, for me it's Brooks and Lloyd. Is where I would lean. And yeah. If you can trade Emmanuel Wilson for a sixth-round pick.
Seventh-round even.
And send him to Washington so they have a backup. I know that they like their hyphenated last-name guy, but, I mean, you know, they're looking to ship one out so they can
– That's wild that – I mean, and Simon, that's a good point in Simon's direction right there because if Washington can get a trade partner for Brian Robinson, who's a very good running back, I doubt we'll find someone for Emmanuel Wilson. So that's a good point too. I can't believe that I've seen reports yesterday that they might just cut him. I'm like, why would you do that? This dude's on his rookie contract and he's a very good running back. Like,
there has to be an underlying issue there. That's
thinking too. There's probably something they're not saying or, yeah. You know what I mean? So,
what about like Miami? Like Devon Achane's going to miss a little bit of time at the beginning of the year,
but then I could see Brian Robinson play, just going down to Miami
and give you some depth at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if we cut Emmanuel Wilson and they cut Brian Robinson, people are going to go for Brian Robinson before Emmanuel Wilson. Now, I will say, I do think Emmanuel Wilson might be a more explosive runner than Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. That's fair.
Okay. Cody, we're going to get the defense after we do offense. Also, start Clifford. Yeah. I mean, he should have been starting his rookie year.
Where at Waterboy?
Bring back Benkert.
No, let's start him over Love. See what you got in Clifford. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to tight end because tight end is going to be an easier one than wide receiver, I think. So let's go to tight end. Bryant, what are you thinking of the tight end position?
Yeah, I have us carrying three, and I think that's going to be Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, and I feel like Fitzpatrick pretty steadily has jumped Chris our Sims in that position. So I think we'll keep Kraft, Musgrave, and Fitzpatrick. And talking about Musgrave, he was making plays again in practice. I'm pretty excited about him if he can stay healthy. He's had like a really two good solid Jesus. Cody's just here to troll. Musgrave's had a pretty solid last couple weeks of camp. So,
Simon, what do you think about tight ends?
I got four. I have us keeping Ben Sims, and then obviously John Fitzpatrick, and then Turcraft and Luke Musgrave. This is the opposite for running backs. I only have us carrying three, and then four tight ends.
Cody sent me a picture before of EA Sports talking about their top tight ends, and it has Tucker Kraft spelled with a C and not a K.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I leaned to the three tight ends as well, just partially because I had to find room for all the guys that I want to keep on the defensive side of the ball. But I have Kraft, Musgrave, and Sims. Kraft, Musgrave, and Fitzpatrick would not shock me at all.
Yeah,
same. So do we get to carry an extra tight end in case of organ donation?
Yeah. Well, I wonder if Sims' blood type matches Tucker Kraft's.
All right, so yes, we all love Tucker Kraft. He is a baller. Yes, I think he's going to get some recognition as possibly a top 10 tight end in the league this year. Okay, moving on to wide receiver. I think we can all probably agree that Christian Watson is going to start on the pup, probably miss the first 4 weeks.
Yep.
Beyond that, I can see an argument for anywhere from 5 to 7 wide receivers.
Yeah, same.
And personally, like I just said, I gave the kind of spoiler alert that I have so many guys that I wanted to keep on defense that I went with 5 wide receivers.
So you don't have him keeping Malik Heath?
Nope.
Okay.
And honestly, if you let him go, I don't see anybody claiming him.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah, same. I could see that.
I would, for wide receiver, I have Dobbs, Golden, Reed, Wicks, and Savion.
Yep. I have Malik Heath on mine.
Yeah, so actually, this one's number 6 is really tough for me. For me, I mean, I kind of point towards Malik Heath, but it's like we've also had him for like 3 years. We kind of see what he can do. He has had a couple of nice games, but now you hear, you know, he didn't perform well in the preseason games. And I mean, he did get pulled down the couple chances he had this last game, but he's been dropping balls even this last week. A couple times he had dropped. So actually, and people will be like, what? Because this person didn't perform super well either. But I kind of went – I have Hardman at 6 because I still think they want his punt return ability a little bit. And I'm a little surprised they haven't tried him at kick returner. But honestly, I wouldn't be completely shocked if we went away from Heath and Hardman and someone like Cornelius Johnson was a 6. Or Julian Hicks.
I debated Hicks.
Yeah. So, and that's where I can start to stretch it to 7, depending on how many people start on the pub and IR, to where it's like they might, if they don't think Reed is ready. See, my thing is if they don't think Reed's going to be ready, I could see Hardman making it because then they're going to use Matthew Golden in that slot. And then we need Hardman for the deep threat. So it really kind of depends on who's going to be healthy and where we're really at after this next week. The number 6 spot is really interesting to me.
Yeah. That's what Sam Isle just said. He's worried about the wide receiver injuries a little bit, which is fair. And that's where, like I'm saying, anywhere between 5 and 7 wouldn't shock me. Wouldn't shock me if anybody of Malik Heath, Mecole Hardman, Hicks,
Johnson,
or Cornelius Johnson, that any of those guys make the roster. None of them would shock me in any capacity.
Yeah. Cornelius just looked like more like an NFL running or wide receiver to me during the preseason game. I get it. But like that snag he made over the middle to get that first down on fourth down, that was like NFL level.
Yeah, he looked good.
That's a
he was killing it in OTAs too.
Yeah.
The thing with the 6th wide receiver that we've seen it come down to also is blocking.
Special teams.
Cody is in here just throwing out all the random stuff, saying to get Anthony Richardson.
Did he say anything about
Anthony Richardson next year? Give a 6th rounder for him, and then let Malik Willis walk and get a compensatory 6th.
Did you guys see that cut Dobbs post?
Oh,
that Dobbs goodness. Might get cut.
Oh, yeah, on Bleacher Report. That's just trash, man. I don't listen to that crap. I would bet a lot of money right now that Dobbs does not get cut. Now, if you want to make argument he gets traded, I could probably find the way to do that. Cut? No.
That wouldn't shock me as much as him being cut.
Has Cody mentioned Jared Arbidaris yet?
No, you beat him to it.
Jeff Janis.
While we're on the subject, I love Jeff Janis also.
Yeah.
He's probably not doing anything right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've gone through quarterback, running back, tight ends, and wide receivers so far. Let's talk about the offensive line. So Bryant and I were talking about this a little bit before the show started. He said he looked, the last 2 years, the Packers have carried 10 and 11. Right now I have 8.
No.
And I understand that they're not going to keep 8 when it gets to the first week's roster, but in want to keep everybody else that I have 8 offensive linemen to claim or to not have other guys claim, to keep other guys on the roster is what I was saying. So let's start with the offensive line. Let's go through the top 6. We'll talk about some of the positional battles in a little bit because we can still hash out one of these on the offensive line. I think it's still up for grabs. So the top 6 is Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elgton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom, and Jordan Morgan. Those are your top 6, whether it's Morgan or Walker, left tackle. We'll get to that in a little bit. So strictly from that, who else do you guys think makes the roster on the offensive line?
Did you mention Belton?
Well, Belton's number 7. Belton
would be number 7.
Yeah. He's like guaranteed to make the roster.
I would say Belton and probably Monk. would be my locks to make the roster.
I don't even have. I don't know if Monk's.
I have like Monk a lock. On the Monk on the practice squad.
Nope, I have him making it.
And then I have Glover on the roster.
Glover is on IR. He's an ending IR.
Okay.
Yeah, he got hurt, so that was the reason why I didn't have him. Yeah, yeah. He would have been on my roster if he didn't go season ending IR. I also had Kadeem Telfort, so I have us carrying nine.
And so okay.
And Kadeem Telfort, I could see not making the roster like pretty easily.
Yeah. Yep. So another thing, me and Cody were talking about before we started was, I kind of agree with Cody to where I would say there's probably eight people on our team right now that are probably deserving of a roster spot, but 100% the Packers will carry more. So I do still have them carrying 10. And where I have is I also kind of begrudgingly put Kadeem Telfort on there just to get us that 10 number. But my ninth was actually Lasita Smith because I just for help at center slash guard. I think he has a little more versatility. It sounds like he's looked decent since he came back to us. A little familiarity there because he was with us last year. So, you know, because right now, none of, you know, Monk has really struggled.
Yeah.
You know, Glover's out. And right now,
Jennings looks bad.
If Jenkins was to go down, you know, you'd either have to push Sean Ryan and completely shuffle the whole thing, or that's where you could plug in Lasita Smith if he's playing well enough. So
I had him on the practice squad.
Yeah.
So Zach, it's a lot of linemen, and that's the Packers. The Packers show no hesitation.
Yeah, the last 2 years it was 11-10. So
they don't mess around when it comes to their offensive line. We saw that with them drafting Jordan Morgan in the first round last year, and drafting Anthony Belton in the second round this year. They don't.
I have a feeling offensive line. Yeah, like I said, I have a feeling you'll see our initial 53, and immediately after that's announced at that 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock deadline or whatever, Goody's going to be cooking, and I think you're going to see a couple replacements by the next day.
Yeah,
I think so.
And offensive line could definitely be one of those places where it looks to upgrade the 8th, 9th, 10th offensive lineman. Okay, so on the special teams aspect of it, we have McManus, Whelan, and Orzek. All three of us have those three.
Yeah.
Okay. Zach said I thought it was 8 to 9 every year. It's it's probably between 9 and 11, and then on game day it's probably more like 8.
Yeah, who are actually active, what they actually put on their initial.
We move them around and we go through a lot of them, linemen, and that's true. And they cross train a lot of them. I think there's a case to be made that if Elton Jenkins goes down, that Zach Tom moves to center, and you put Jordan Morgan at right tackle.
Yeah,
I think that's also
no. I think if that was to happen, I think would happen. Well, wait, who did you say goes down?
I said if Morgan. Jenkins goes down, Jenkins. Tom goes to center. And Morgan goes to right tackle.
I think if Jenkins goes down, it would pretty quickly be Sean Ryan to center and Morgan to left or right guard.
I don't know. There's a lot of combinations that I think we're gonna see this year for sure. Like last year, we had a lot of injury luck on the offensive line where we got to, and that was part of the problem in the Eagles game is once dudes started going down, like none of those guys had any game experience. Yeah. But I mean, we're gonna see it this year for sure. Yeah.
I think you could see they might do that thing where literally Morgan's rotating in with tackle and guard on different games. My concern is if Walker and Morgan are pretty much the same, like if you look at them at the same this year, you almost got to let Walker go and play because then you get the third round pick because he's probably going to get a $18 to $20 million contract a year value after this season. Now, that's where it's like if you trust Morgan and you feel good about him already, that's where you're maybe calling up Cincy and or someone and trying to find a trade partner.
Yep. I strongly agree on potentially trading Walker if you feel comfortable with Morgan at left tackle, which, again, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Switch to the defensive side of the ball. I had to scratch and claw to find a way to get down to 29 defensive guys. I could have easily had 33.
I'm interested to hear about the extra ones you have.
Yeah, because I don't think the Packers have ever done that, and I'm not 100% sure. So, like, I have 24 on the offense, three specialists, so at least 26 on the defense.
That's what I have, exactly that number.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see where you pulled the 7, because there are guys that I was like, dang, like,
yeah,
I would love to have them on the roster, but I just can't see it.
A lot of cornerbacks that I didn't like cutting.
Yeah, the cornerbacks,
you know, yeah.
So right now, starting on the D-line, I have 4. I have Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, and Warren Brinson.
I also have Nazir Stackhouse.
He's on my practice squad. I wanted so hard to find a spot for him, but I just couldn't.
My concern is that he would get claimed. So I actually, for me, I actually carried six. And to me, I still think the Brinson and Stackhouse have a better chance to make it over Brooks and Wooden.
One of the reasons I put in that Stackhouse is because Brinson's hurt right now, and he can line up in that nose tackle spot. And I also I don't have Wooden, but I think there's a possibility he could make the roster.
Yeah.
Yep. Wooden's was one of the guys I wanted to put on, and I just couldn't find a
spot. I couldn't find a spot.
I had to choose between Brooks and Wooden.
Yeah, so for me, I have Clark, Wyatt, Brinson, Stackhouse, Brooks, and Wooden all making it. And that the reason I did that is because we are going to have, you know, Watson and Oliver starting on the pub, likely, and then Lloyd and Sorrell starting on IR. So if people are wondering why we're not saying Sorrell, that's because he's probably going to start on IR.
So that's where we go into the edge guys. And I have Gary, LVN, Mosby, and then I had Sorrell. I'm in a position where you're choosing between Cox and Mosby, and then the bubble guy that I have there is Enoch Barre.
I only included Enoch Barre barring Sorrell on IR. If Sorrell is like, oh, he'll only miss like a week or two from the season, then I have Enoch Barre out. And it's not because I think he's like terrible. I think he's hit his peak and the Packers don't want to pay his $3.4 million or whatever this year. For his roster bonus.
He hasn't shown as much growth as I would have liked to have seen, especially in the run game.
Yeah. It's almost like he looked almost the exact same as his rookie season.
Pretty much.
Yeah, this one's pretty...
Cody said Stackhouse is one of his favorites from the preseason so far.
And for me,
For
me, it's almost like the Packers always have a UDFA on their roster. And for me, he was the most obvious one. So for Edge, I did have five of them on there, and I think Engbari makes it still. I think he showed a little bit of pass rush ability during the preseason. He's flashed a little bit during camp. There is validity in what Simon's saying 100% about the $3.whatever million, especially if they make a trade or a move. Like if Henderson was brought in, for sure that Engbari's gone because they need to free up any little bit of cap space they can. But I have Gary, LVN, Engbari, Cox, and Mosby. If Sorrell was healthy, I would remove Mosby and put Sorrell there.
Yep. So. I'll say for the initial roster, I could absolutely take off Mosby or Cox to get a roster spot for Nazir Stackhouse. And then only having two on the initial 53, and then obviously adding different guys to the roster before week one.
Yeah.
Okay. Looking at linebackers, I have four. I have Walker, Cooper, McDuffie, and Hopper.
Bro, all your numbers are in the secondary, then.
Yeah, he must have.
Oh, like, man.
A lot of safeties and cornerbacks.
Wait, go back to your linebacker. Sorry, I was just thinking about your numbers. What did you say?
Walker, Cooper, McDuffie, and Hopper.
Really? I have Welch as well. And I actually included Simmons. I don't love the way he played, but I could see, like... I can already see it. What's his name? Special teams coach, assistant. Basasha, thank you. I could see him whispering in Matt LaFleur's ear, Gutekunst's ear, we got to keep this guy. Even though he offers absolutely – he's looked terrible on defense this preseason.
Christian Welch has kind of been a stud on special teams as well. So
yeah,
originally I had Simmons on my roster. So I have Cooper, Quay, McDuffie, Hopper, who I'm kind of – I think at first I was like, I wonder if Simmons could take McDuffie's spot, or I wonder if, you know, whoever else could take McDuffie's spot. Now I'm starting to think it could be, Hopper. That's kind of looked pretty good. And
yeah, he's looked good.
Yeah. Could eventually start taking some of the snaps. For me, it really is between Simmons and Welch. The thing is that Welch is maybe a little more consistent with his floor, but for me, he's really like – kind of a lot like McDuffie, but he's really good on special teams as well. Where Simmons, that speed, maybe they do put the package in for him. So this one was tough for me. I did have Simmons originally, but I'm kind of swaying towards Welch now. But I think this game this weekend is going to be, I think both of them will.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Play a whole lot, and I think it's going to really kind of solidify what's going to happen there. So, and yeah, Zach, I like his speed as well, but if he's running in the wrong direction, it doesn't really matter how fast he is. Right.
And that's something we've had with Quay Walker, especially in his first two seasons. It did get better, which is good, obviously. Quay Walker got a lot better at being in the right spot at the right time versus being in the wrong spot at the right time. And I think that's where Simmons is at currently. He's in the wrong spot at the right time. We saw the really, really big check down that the Packers gave up to the Jets for the fullback.
Yeah.
Simmons being too far in the secondary. So linebackers, I agree with you guys. Five of them, maybe six, but probably five. You guys want to do corners or safeties next?
I think safety's easier.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of debates in the cornerback room that you could have on that, like, sixth or fifth, sixth guy.
So I have four safeties, McKinney, Williams, Bullard, and Oladipo.
What'd you do, keep 10 fucking cornerbacks?
Yeah, what the hell?
No, I just added wrong, so I added the special teams to my defense. So.
Oh, okay. That makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So
like, guys. He kept every quarterback on the
team. I was like, holy.
So, yeah, I'd probably add an extra offensive lineman and an extra defensive lineman.
Yeah.
So. Makes it easy to put Stackhouse on there when I don't have
this dude's out here keeping Tyron Herring.
So, yes. Four safeties. I do have five corners, so we'll get to that. But
okay.
Four safeties.
Okay. All right. I have five safeties. I have us also keeping Zane Anderson.
Yeah. So who'd you say? McKinney, Williams, Bullard, Oladipo, and Anderson?
That's who I have.
Anderson is a bubble guy for me. Yeah. And also
he's a bubble guy for me as well.
I don't know how serious that is either.
Yeah. That's another specialty. Yeah. I hadn't seen much about his injury. It was another concern I had too.
I haven't seen really anything about it since he had it.
And with his age, he did play well when he stepped in last year. And with but with his age, I could see him possibly going.
So. I would be fine risking him getting claimed, especially if he's injured. I don't really see it happening.
Yeah. And going back to defensive line, I think the reason I kind of like getting like Stackhouse and Brinson and all of them on there too is I do think there's a chance that Kenny Clark could be looking at one of his last years in Green Bay here pretty soon with his numbers and stuff next year. So that's why I kept six of them there.
Okay. Yeah. Cornerbacks, also six. Nixon, Hobbs, Valentine, Bo Melton, Micah Robinson, and Kalen King.
I barely left off King. I only have five cornerbacks.
He was the last one.
Honestly, it was between him and Simmons, and I could see it going either way.
Yeah. So I had the five as well. I had Nixon, Hobbs, Valentine, Bo Melton, and Micah Robinson. So I also was playing with the idea of potentially them keeping Ballantyne because he is a little more veteran. He played well for them last year in a pinch. But I feel like I know the Colts, right after they got rid of Ballantyne, they ended up getting a cornerback injury, but they signed Gilmore or something. Who did they sign? They signed someone.
No.
Some old vet.
I forget.
Yeah. But either way, they signed somebody. I do think that there's potential they keep Ballantyne.
It was Xavien Howard.
Oh, Xavien Howard. That's right. So there's potential you could see Ballantyne sneak on here and maybe see like a Wooden gone on mine or something. And maybe they carry six cornerbacks, just see what they have. But that's where my numbers are at right now.
I'll say this on the subject of Ballantyne. He's one of those guys where if say Zane Anderson is only going to miss like a week or two, that they keep Ballantyne. And if they needed extra depth at safety, they have Bullard play a little more safety instead of a little less or in a little bit less of slot corner.
Yeah.
And then you move Ballantyne into the cornerback room.
Because, I mean, Hobbs is still banged up, too. That's someone we're waiting to get back. And there's a lot of injuries right now. So
yeah. Cody made a good point. I think Green Bay looks to clear waivers, looks to waivers after roster cuts for another corner.
Yeah.
Could absolutely.
There's going to be some changes for sure on this roster.
Like, our roster predictions are basically based on what we have right now. It's going to change. And
I would be I'd be very happy if we got, like, 45, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a good chance we see – three people pretty much immediately cut from the initial if the right players hit the free agency market.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing too is, like, I know we're really talking about, like, players that we try to sneak on the practice squad. Like, no, not a lot of it doesn't happen often.
Yeah,
that guys that we cut get picked up. Like, I think last year was Grant DuBose. He went to Miami. After, like, years before, I can't remember last time we lost a guy I really cared about.
Yeah.
Through waivers, and, like, we ended up getting around. And practice squads are so big now that.
Yeah.
Zach, the cut day is next Tuesday. That's why we're doing the predictions this Tuesday. Before we jump into X factors, I just want to go through: is there any other positional battles that you guys are watching? I mean, the left tackle, unfortunately, due to Rashid Walker's injury, hasn't really been a battle to watch. It's just been, do you think Morgan is good enough to start a left tackle with Rashid Walker out?
I do, based on the two preseason games we've seen.
Yeah, he's played. He's been dominant in pass protection specifically.
Pass blocking snaps and zero pressures.
Yeah,
he's been so good.
Yeah, he's been really good. Like I said, that fifth/sixth cornerback is a really intriguing battle. The fifth inside linebacker, our linebacker, is really intriguing. And the last wide receiver, what they're going to do there, is really intriguing to me. People will talk about the Clifford Elgersma battle, but I don't think there's really anything there anyway. I don't think I'll be surprised if we hold three quarterbacks. I think we just look to get one of them back on the roster as an emergency. And then from there, I think stuff is the last pass rusher too. The last edge, whoever makes it over there, is probably kind of interesting too. But other than that,
I'd be interested to see if Mosby or Cox can do enough to potentially pass up Enoch Barre.
Yeah, I think Cox looked really good last year, and I think he's more of just a gamer. It's like, once you put it, he gets into that different mode mentality and that he wants to hurt people. And I think his motor takes a different level when he gets on the actual field.
I will say. And again, this is camp speech. So, you know, we make fun of people when they do it to Caleb Williams and oh my God, how amazing JJ McCarthy looks. He looks like the most accurate quarterback they've ever seen.
Yeah. And then you scroll up one post and he's the worst quarterback they've ever seen.
Yeah. So I will take this with a grain of salt. I have heard nothing but, like, ecstatic things about Lucas Van Ness all
night. Yeah. Same.
And again, I understand it's cap speech. But still, I'm very interested to see him get back on the field. I think he did some pretty good things last year.
I'll say I was a little discouraged by our lack of success in the preseason game so far, rushing the passer. But then you got to remember, the second game, none of them played. And then the first game, they had very few snaps.
Yeah. So, Zach said, besides against LVN in practice, which isn't bad.
Talking about Morgan.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's just about it for positional battles. Let's talk about some X factors. Go to the offensive side of the ball. Simon, I'll let you go first. Who is your offensive X factor?
Okay. I wrote down four of them just in case we didn't have, or we kind of spread the love.
We're going to come back to Simon. Yeah. Brian, you can go first.
Okay. I have two of them that I think are really, really intriguing.
Yeah, we're going to go to me because I only have one.
Okay. Go to you first.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if either of you guys picked up a mine. I put Savion Williams.
Nope.
I'm very interested to see what Matt LaFleur does with him. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten a ton about him because he's been dealing with some injuries as well. But he is a Swiss Army knife like Matt LaFleur has never had. You know, we've talked about it since we've gotten to the point of, you know, we talk about Tyler Irvin and the role that he used to play, about moving before the snap. And being a guy who can be a rushing and a receiving threat. They messed around with it with a little bit with Jaden Reed of the rushing receiving aspect of it. But Savion Williams has I would say, the most experience out of doing both out of any of the guys that Matt LaFleur has had in his offense. And then you add in the fact that he can throw the ball too. I don't think that they're going to run many, you know, double pass type trick play type stuff, but I would bet a lot of money that the number is not zero.
Yeah.
So it might be two, but I think the number is not zero.
I just need a Savion Williams to Matthew Golden touch.
No, I was just thinking the same thing, dude. That would, yeah.
I'd have to have on the white pants for that one.
Yeah. Okay.
Brian, give me your offense.
I'm sure I'll knock out at least maybe one, possibly two of Simon's. That's okay. Probably. Two more. Yeah. My first one is Tucker Kraft.
Nope.
So I think that, like you kind of touched on earlier, I think he has a chance to people recognizing him as a top 10 tight end. I honestly think there's a legitimate chance that Tucker Kraft could finish this season with the most catches for the Packers and high on targets as well. I know he blocked a lot, but I think he could finish somewhere with 65 to 70 catches on the season.
I think he has the most touchdown receptions. This year from the Packers. I mean,
my projections, who I have the most receptions. Spoiler alert, I do have Tucker Kraft with the most touchdown receptions.
So,
yeah.
And then my
Cody said X Factor is no running from shotgun on fourth and one.
No jet sweeps from fourth and whatever.
No jet
sweeps
on fourth and two.
So then my
shotgun thing doesn't bother me as much as it does other people, but.
Yeah.
My second X factor is a lot of pressure for a rookie, but I think Matthew Golden has the potential to change his offense.
Yeah. Just that's what Zach said as well.
Yeah. If everything we've heard coming out of camp is accurate, which people don't typically, another huge touchdown again today. Did you see that tweet though? I don't like him responding to the tweet.
I love that.
I tried to click on your link again. I seen it earlier and then I tried to click on your link. I think that's what you shared to us.
Yep.
And it was gone. So I wonder if he deleted it.
Oh, really?
Or it could have been just that one. My computer might have been acting funny.
Let me try. But,
this random reporter that I have never heard of.
Yeah, I didn't hear him. Either.
Said that.
Yeah, they that deleted it. Someone deleted it.
Being like what clamped by Keyshawn Nixon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was not practicing today.
Yeah. he did practice today.
Who the fuck is this guy?
Nixon practiced today.
Somebody said Nixon wasn't even practicing today.
Oh, I don't. Maybe I'm wrong then.
I'm pretty sure I have to look back
to the tweet where was that Nixon wasn't even practicing.
Pretty amazing, sure amazing reporting job.
Either way, like amazing. Him cooking him, I'm like, I wish Golden would have been like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, yeah, right. I'm cooking him, but it was great to see it, but it's also like, ooh, I'm sure
he's
Nixon's
a rookie. Not thrilled
about that.
But, I thought it was funny.
Yeah. But like his route running, watching him gain separation from people and stuff, he could definitely, he'd be in, like him and Tucker Kraft. Like, I would not be shocked if Matthew Golden came in and led the Packers with receptions. We've seen several wide receivers the last several years before everyone's like, oh, wide receivers aren't that good. Well, guess what? The last several years, there's been several wide receivers go for well over 1,000 yards as a rookie. So Matthew Golden, I think, has that potential this year.
I can't wait to talk about stat projections next week because you talk about wide receivers. Oh, man, I did some good work on what I did with Matthew Golden. Zach said the way he ran a slant against Sauce Gardner in the Jets game was all I needed to see. And I'll say this, as far as any preseason stuff that we saw with Jordan Love playing and camp stuff, Matthew Golden has been the most sure-handed out of the entire group.
I think I've only read about him dropping the ball once.
Well, I've read it once.
They said that. I've heard two of them, but one was like people are saying it was pretty much out of reach. That one tipped off his fingertips and was intercepted. Mm-hmm. And then they said the one that wasn't a drop was like throwing down at his knees, but they're so used to him. He had been making all those catches that they said it was a drop. As for the slant against Sauce Gardner on that catch, great. And don't forget that he also drew a penalty against Sauce Gardner too.
Yep. All right, Simon, who you got for an offensive X factor?
Okay, I had Golden. I also have, I think I have Jordan Morgan. I think they find a way to put him on the starting five, whether it's at left tackle or at right guard. I think he's one of our top five. I have Elgton Jenkins just for the sheer fact that he's taken over the center job this year.
That's a sneaky good one, Simon, because how much issues have we had at center in the last several years?
Yep.
So no, that's a good. That's
yeah.
A good
I think with the full off season of him playing center, not including his like holdout or whatever, I think he's going to be a strong X factor for Packers offensive success. And lastly, I have Luke Musgrave, especially in the early part of the season. If we're talking about the Packers wide receivers being sort of beat up, I could see us running a lot of 21 personnel. And that includes Luke Musgrave being the big, like fast tight end that can kind of play a pseudo wide receiver role in this offense, and him being fully healthy going into the season, I can see him being a big part of this offense as well.
Yeah. Luke Musgrave was the backup one that I was going to throw out there. So yeah,
that's a really good one too.
Yeah. And Jordan Morgan, I love that one also. It's really one of those things where I said this, I posted it everywhere that I could last year when the pick was made. I'm like, it's not a sexy pick, but it is such a necessary one when you're talking about the future of Jordan Love, especially seeing him banged up last year. Yep. That's why they invested in Jordan Morgan last year. It's why they invested in Aaron Banks this year. It's why
and Anthony Belton
in the draft. They're going to keep investing in protecting Jordan Love.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, too, if Jordan Morgan becomes a starting caliber top 15 left tackle in the league, all the people are crying about Cooper DeJean can kick rocks. I don't care if Cooper DeJean's top 10 cornerback. A lot of teams are going to take the left tackle before the cornerback.
A slot cornerback at that.
Yeah. So
I would argue that outside quarterback, that left tackle is the most important position to fill on your offense.
Yep.
As long as your quarterback is right-handed.
Well, hopefully our one tight end doesn't kill anyone.
I don't know. Anthony Richardson proved that. That doesn't matter.
I guess we'll see what Michael Penix does this year.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. And Simon, you can go first for defense.
We could be like the Patriots used to with Hernandez and Grant. That'd be so sick. I would love that. No, I still also have four. So why don't you guys go ahead?
Okay, I have one of them.
Yeah, let's go with the one. Same order. It's fine.
All right. Mine, I have Javon Bullard.
I also have him.
His playing time might be a little bit more limited with Nate, with the emergence of Evan Williams at safety and the addition of Nate Hobbs. We'll see. I'll be watching to see if Javon Bullard can be efficient with his playing time. I'm not expecting him to have like three interceptions while playing like 65% of snaps every game. But if he can just be, like I said, efficient by obviously not letting opposing quarterbacks be efficient is what I'll be looking for from Javon Bullard. Also, we talked about it a little bit in the roster prediction aspect of it. If we are without Zane Anderson to begin the season, Javon Bullard may be rotating a little bit more in at safety and then keeping an extra cornerback. That back and forth of Javon Bullard and seeing if he is more versatile to play both this year and, like I said, ideally be efficient in both is what makes Javon Bullard an X factor for me. Cody said Cooper's health. I mean, haven't heard anything of any worries about Edgerrin Cooper's health.
He practiced today, too. He had a good rush on Jack Tom.
Yeah. Bryant, who do you have for defense?
I think he was just overall generally saying Cooper's health is an X factor. Yeah.
Right.
Like that's staying healthy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll keep on basically what Cody said. Mine is Edge Cooper. I do think that this dude could have an all-pro type season. He might not get all-pro because people are kind of still learning who he is. But don't be surprised if he ends the season with high single-digit sacks, throwing a couple picks, a couple forced fumbles, probably double-digit tackles for losses. If he stays healthy all year, he can take that middle of that defense. He does take the middle of the defense to another level that we haven't seen in many years. Yeah. So that was my first one. My second one is Lucas Van Ness. I think if he takes a step and he's able to take some pressure off for Sean Gary, we might finally see one of these dudes go for double-digit sacks. We don't necessarily need that. If Edge Cooper ends up with 8 and LVN 7 and Rashawn 9 again, I mean, that's production. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll take that.
So, yeah.
I'd be happy with that. Absolutely.
But, I think Lucas Van Ness and Edge Cooper's emergence will be huge for this this team.
Yeah. Wouldn't, like you said, wouldn't shock you if he had like an all pro level season. Wouldn't shock me if, you know, they haven't extended Quay Walker's contract or they're kind of letting that one play out. makes me wonder what Goody thinks of the 2026 linebacker class.
Also, or Hopper. What do you think of Hopper?
Or Hopper. And obviously they signed McDuffie for 3 years. So, you know, there's options there, and it wouldn't at all rule out Quay Walker ending up with a new contract in Green Bay, just probably not for that $16 million option that he would have gotten as an extension of his rookie contract.
Yeah, no chance. And that's because they include him in, like, outside linebacker pay, and that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Zach said Van Ness, Nixon, Hobbs for me. Kenny Clark has a healthy season. Simon, who do you have for defensive X factors?
You guys kind of hit on three. I also had Javon Buller, LVN, and Edge Cooper. I also had Nate Hobbs. I think obviously all the outrage or whatever from Packers fans about Jair Alexander getting released and going over to the Ravens, I think he's just going to be a big part of what this defense needs. And he also needs to stay healthy. I know he's been banged up a little bit the last few years. And I think that's why Green Bay gave him the contract that they did, was his guarantees are so – they're not that high. I don't even remember what it was, but he has like a $65 million contract. I think like 20-something of it is guaranteed. I have to go back and look. But he needs to stay healthy as well. But we're going to need a big season from him, considering what people think of our cornerback room.
And Alexander,
yeah, I saw that.
Not that I don't want Alexander to succeed, but he's not even practicing. Like, yep. And basically saying, yeah, I'm dealing with the things I've dealt with the last 2 years. Well,
so I pulled up Nate Hobbs' contract. He signed a 4-year, $48 million.
Oh.
And only 16 is guaranteed.
That's right. Banks' contract was in the 60s, I think.
Yeah.
70-something.
Yeah, but. Sorry. Yeah, I'm getting them mixed up. But yeah, so what, $16 million guaranteed? Like, that's not much. Guaranteed. Yeah, that's a low guarantee for a starting corner in the league. So we'll take that.
Yeah,
100%. Like,
it's a $12 million dead cap hit if they release him in 2026. So they could release him as early as next year.
Yeah,
with only a $12 million cap hit.
Yeah.
So, pretty savvy contract there by Gutekunst, to be honest with you.
And to get him to sign for 4 years is good too. And a lot of people are only signing 3-year contracts.
That's what Green Bay does, though.
One of the best slot corners available on the market.
Yeah, that's what Green Bay does, though. They give guys 4-year contracts instead of three.
Yeah.
It's different.
And bring the guarantees down a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So was there anybody else you wanted to throw out there on the defensive side of the ball? I know you mentioned all the other three guys, and then Hobbs.
No, that was what I had. Those four. I was interested to see
from Hopper more than what he saw from Simmons. Yeah, I don't hate that take. And I honestly, even if Simmons doesn't end up making the roster, I don't fault the Packers for bringing him in.
Yep.
I mean, you take a shot on a former top five pick. Never going to be like, oh no, that's a terrible decision. Like, obviously, it was top five pick for a reason. I don't fault anybody for bringing him in and trying to find out what that reason was and seeing if you can get that out of him.
His contract wasn't shit either.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying, too, that, like, obviously we know that Xavier McKinney is going to be an X-factor. We were talking, you know, we're kind of looking at more players that could maybe step up and kind of take us to that next level. So,
yeah. So, that said, next week we will have bold predictions and our stat projections. So that's going to be very interesting to see what we do with that. The following week is going to be our week one preview, as well as our regular season record predictions from the head and the heart, and our schedule review and our NFC North review. And all of that, we will be joined by Mike Spofford, the editor of Packers.com. So we're very excited to have Mike back. We've had Mike on a handful of times through the last two seasons, and it's always great to get his insight. Matt, Mike knows ball more than any of us could have. Mike's been doing it for a really long time. He always brings in great insight, that stuff that we would never have thought about. And obviously being close to the team, you know, you get that. But very excited to have Mike back in 2 weeks. And next week, I'm excited to do our stat projections and our bold predictions. Those are always fun as well. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight. Simon and Bryant, I will see you guys next week.
For sure.
Sounds good.
Go Pack.